Angels and Loners by Ramon Diaz-Iturrivish, performed by Malcolm Hilgartner. Suddenly, the silence. Nothing to say. I was alone at an hour when the hum of the passing vehicles drilled through the walls of my apartment, and the foggy air of the city stopped at the window. Out of habit, I looked down at the movements of the neighborhood, the comings and goings of people through those rough spaces, heavy with memories and small daily sorrows. I had been staring at the envelope on my desk for 15 minutes. It sat beside the onyx ashtray full of butts and the usual glass of vodka. Nothing to say. Ghosts wheeling around my desk, and the abrupt image of a woman emerging from memory with the sharpness of a blade. The drink, the cigarette butts, the pull of the envelope tempting me to discover its contents. On one side, my name, Heredia. On the other, three letters. Initials that brought me back to a night 5 years before, when I met this woman. Beautiful and fleeting, like many others, and whose memory I was condemned to carry around with me. I picked up the envelope and shifted it between my fingers, like a lucky ace in an otherwise horrible hand. What could it say that was new? Probably nothing that would change things between us. The stamps had been postmarked in Buenos Aires, and I figured there would be another postcard inside, like the last three, which were reproductions of paintings that we both liked. Chagall, Hopper, Botticelli. Her question, "How are you?" along with the mark of those lips, intensely red, which I yearned for at moments that I preferred to forget, but that sometimes repeated with the unstoppable consistency of a ticking clock. I put the envelope back on the desk and considered my options for letting this day die in a less miserable way. The vodka was as useless as the wings on a fly drowning in a cesspool, and the walls of the apartment seemed closer together than usual. I could go for a walk, go to the bar in the corner, to talk with the waiter about the horses and listen to the incoherent conversations of drunks, or go into the Mama Sam Cabaret, where there was always a girl willing to be at my side in exchange for two or three martinis, and the patience to listen to her sad story, real or invented. There wasn't much to do, and I didn't care. I could also take my car, travel the downtown streets, and see if I could find a passenger to justify the expense of disguising it as a taxi. It had been a poorly thought-out idea, the product of a few months without work. As my neighbor Stephen said, the economic downturn had tightened everyone's pockets, and there weren't any jealous husbands around who were willing to invest their savings in the secret movements of their wives. But I didn't lose hope, and the bronze nameplate nailed to the door of my office kept identifying me as a private detective, a trade as lonely as those of whores and writers.